You're tuned into tomorrow. Right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-430-4602. 800-430-4602. 800-430-4602. Again, that's 800-430-4602. Paid for by NPS.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
We welcome you into tomorrow, the very first Into Tomorrow broadcast of the brand new decade. It is not only a new year, it's a new decade. January 3rd, always using the Friday dates going into every weekend so that you know what date to look for when you come to intotomorrow.com. Perhaps want to look at show notes, hear your call, hear it again, do whatever else you might like to do. We appreciate you tuning into tomorrow, but even more so if you want to visit our site, intotomorrow.com. Of course, sign up for our free tech newsletter. Little box pops up, email address only. It's very easy. And, of course, also snag our Into Tomorrow apps for both iPhone and iPad and Android tablets, all of that sort of stuff. I am Dave Graveline. Happy New Year.
I am Chris Graveline. Happy New Year to you, too.
Why, thank you very much. Erasmo's in the control room here in our Miami studios. Horatio working with the show out of New York as well. And I mentioned Happy New Year. Hopefully thou, by this time, Santa's been good to you. You've got all your consumer tech gifts up and running, and everything is just wonderful. But if not, that's what we're here for.
And if he wasn't good to you, hopefully you've had time now to return all the stuff that he wasn't good and got your store credits and gotten what you really wanted.
Yeah, there you go. That's the other option, too, because you don't want to go the day after Christmas. A lot of people figured, oh, that's going to be way too busy with returns. Exactly. Relax a little bit. Enjoy some coquito, whatever, and then go and return your items later. They don't have to be returned right away, although you may be right away anxious to get some other consumer tech that you really wanted.
Yeah.
So return all those clothes and ties and stuff that doesn't help you with tech, and then get the tech you want.
Return all those Android phones. Get an iPhone.
No. That's not at all what I'm saying. So, but it is important that we have you tuned into tomorrow in the big first New Year show. 2020 already. It's so bizarre. It's a good thing I don't write checks anymore, because then I'll be writing 2019 still. But everything is digital, so you don't have to worry about writing the date, I hope, anymore.
But at least we should all have really good vision this year.
Oh, God. You really went there? Yeah, too bad they didn't have Baba Wawa doing, "I'm Baba Wawa, and this is 2020.
Yeah.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, my dad jokes obviously haven't improved with the new decade.
No, they have not. Oh, our CES coverage begins in 2 weeks from today. Mainly because the Consumer Electronics Show is a week from now, but we'll be out there doing interviews and recording video of all the cool new products we're going to be talking about to show you these new things in Lost Wages, Nevada. Yeah.
And being that their event is Tuesday through Friday and we're a weekend show, it's kind of hard to, you know, do live from there. And
true. And even turn interviews around fast enough, because we are shooting video of all the radio interviews, as always. So we want you to see the stuff we're talking about.
Yes, so we have tons and tons of coverage.
Yeah. So when all the morning shows have gone and all the other news things and other shows, there's not a lot of other tech shows that are even attending CES anymore. We're about it.
Well, not only tech shows, there's not a lot of exhibitors that are attending CES anymore.
That's also true.
Which is why we'll also be attending some of the other press events. We've got their PepCom event. We've got their Showstoppers event, which are unofficial, but we get a look at some great stuff that isn't going to be exhibited at CES.
Very true. These are after hours off the Vegas Convention Center premise events that are always there at big shows because they know us media types are there. And they want to give us an opportunity to come have a refreshing beverage and a piece of shrimp and do some interviews. And we do a lot of that.
Yeah, in fact, we've talked about some of the big companies that aren't going to be there. We were trying to set some stuff up with company Vizio. Everybody knows Vizio. But
sure.
Not only are they not exhibiting at CES, they have an off-premise sort of setup at a hotel, but they're going to not even be there when the show opens. They're going to come and go before CES even opens.
I know. Isn't that bizarre? So that ought to tell you a lot. And Intel, that used to have a huge exhibit on the show floor, they have a ballroom somewhere
now. They've got a ballroom at one of the hotels.
And Directed, which used to be on the show floor, is at the Hard Rock, whole separate scenario. Yeah. And
for years, Dish had a huge booth. We did videos from there. They're not exhibiting at all at the show.
And General Motors, which had a very big presence. And in fact, the GM CEO was scheduled to be a keynote speaker. They backed out altogether.
Yeah, because there was a lot of speculation that they were going to use CES to sort of launch their electric pickup truck.
Yeah, and Cadillac, the all-new electric Cadillac. And so nope.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? Why are we going?
Well, because they've got Gary's book club.
You wouldn't catch me dead reading one of Gary's book club books. Yeah, gosh. He would probably say, well, it's because you can't read. Yeah, it's because that's all he can come up with.
Yeah. Anyway, so speaking of people that aren't going to be exhibiting at CES, as T-Mobile's merger trial inches toward a verdict, it's clear that the company has spent years preparing for a merger with Sprint. But a new report made public in connection with the case reveals that T-Mobile has also been preparing for a subsequent merger with a cable company, with Comcast seen as the most likely potential candidate.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm going to have to get off of T-Mobile if they merge with Comcast.
Yeah. Titled Defining a Winning Position for the U.S. Business Model, the report was assembled at the request of T-Mobile board member Thorsten Langheim in December 2015. The document concludes that the company should position itself for two separate mergers. First, a consolidating merger with Sprint, then a broader merger with a cable company like Comcast.
You know, the T-Mobile would then just go away because Comcast would not allow them to still be called T-Mobile. It'd have to be Xfinity Mobile, which is nonsense. And they basically just resell off of other mobile carriers around the country.
Yeah, well, they've already got their Xfinity Mobile, which, it's, I don't even know if they really use towers or it's all Wi-Fi.
No,
because I know that the Xfinity Mobile, it's anytime you're near an Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspot, it's just that's what you're using. You're not even using cellular.
Well, and the other stuff, they're just simply reselling other carriers. So probably some T-Mobile, some AT&T, some Verizon, depending on what agreement they can make in what area. But that's, oh my God, that'll be the kiss of death for what would be left then of T-Mobile. If Comcast merges with them, they would not be T-Mobile anymore because they wouldn't let them. Comcast being so big, they would just say, nope, you're now Xfinity Mobile. Take it and get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But this is just somebody's speculation, right?
Yeah.
Some analyst.
Well, this was a report that was done that saying that, this board member, I guess, for T-Mobile saying that this is the way they should do things.
Oh.
They should plan for this merger with Sprint and then plan for another merger with a cable
company.
But
still, just one of their board members.
Yeah.
Not that he has any inside information.
Right.
Almost 20% of consumers, I found this interesting, said that they'll exchange more than half of the presents that they got this year. We were talking about returns and everything. 77% of consumers plan to return some of their gifts, an Oracle survey found. The trend has many retailers adjusting their policies to make returns more convenient or more difficult, depending. Because I know Target, if you have a habit of returning a lot of things to Target, you get on some return blacklist, and they make it very difficult. And especially if it's returning clothing a lot, what are you wearing something to a party and then just returning it? And so they got to, I don't blame the stores for people who return too many things too often, because what's up with that? I mean, if you're buying a lot of stuff and then you simply return it, why you buy it to begin with, unless you're just using it.
Yeah. You know, and at least with some stores, you know, like little retail stores, if you return something, a lot of times if it's there's no damage, everything goes back on the shelf and they resell it.
Yeah.
With a lot of companies like Amazon, you return something, it goes in and sits in a warehouse for God knows how many years. And there was a big story even recently in the UK where a lot of the stuff was just ending up in trash dumps.
Really?
Just returned items that they don't go back into the stock. They just apparently sit
even
in the warehouse.
Even unopened things?
Yeah.
Why would they do that? I know we've talked about that before on the show. Yeah, that doesn't make
apparently
any sense.
I guess Amazon in the UK, they changed their policy, and they're now donating a lot of those returned items and unused items to different charities.
Well,
there.
I hope so, but still. Yeah. I mean, my gosh, it's what a waste.
Yeah, but that's also why, you know, knowing like how hard to please my daughter is this year, a lot of the stuff on Amazon, I printed, I asked for gift receipts, too, and I wrapped them up with the packages, cause knowing, half the stuff's probably going to get returned anyway. But
yeah. I don't know of anything for your daughter that I've bought her over the years that she wears. I mean, she wants certain sneakers or this kind of clothing thing or whatever. So I would get it, and never, ever, ever did I see her wearing those things. So she probably returns them and just gets something else anyway.
And I've learned that too. I mean, she's a 20-something-year-old woman, so her tastes change like every month or two.
Yeah,
which is why I started doing gift receipts, because I've even told her before, I'd rather you return it and at least get something you're going to use if I'm going to spend that money, than just have whatever I get you sit in the closet.
Well, most of the family knows that's why I do gift cards. You know, get what you want. I'm not going to go pick something that, I don't know, maybe that's not your favorite color. Maybe you don't like this design of something. And, of course, if it's technology items, they think it's from the prize closet, which we don't do. But I don't want them to think that.
That's the other reason I use gift receipts, because I bought my daughter a lot of tech stuff. So I put gift receipts so that she knows this didn't come from the prize closet.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. YCharge wants to help homeowners nix the cable clutter with their Power Puck. It's a small device that uses air cord technology to wireless charge compatible electronics that are up to 30 feet away. So we're not talking about a Qi charger, or QI as some people might call it, because that has to be in contact, right? The QI chargers. This is up to 30 feet away with this Power Puck. I'm concerned about that a little bit for a few reasons, not the least of which is, would your filling start humming or something if there's power going through the air? Of course, more details on the device will be available soon, as it's scheduled to ship in the coming months. So do stay tuned into tomorrow.
In fact, I believe this is the one I saw a press release that came across that's going to be exhibiting at CES. And I went to their website, and it showed what looked like a smoke detector up in a ceiling. They showed it over like a kitchen table, and one was over like a conference table at an office. And it sort of had little arrows pointing down all the devices sitting on the table, that it was charging all those devices just from that smoke detector looking thing.
Very cool. No question. I mean, we always have issues with charging devices, and I was going to evaluate a OnePlus phone, but they're not wireless charge capable. It's like, what? How in 2020 do you have any phone that you can't use a Qi charger on? They're not. You have to plug them in always.
The coolest thing was, Christmas Day, my 10-year-old niece was over the house. She asked me if I had an iPhone charger. I said, well, I don't have a cord. I use all wireless. I said, well, what phone do you have? She said, iPhone 8. I said, well, that'll work. Come here. I had a Qi charger in my kitchen. She had no idea about wireless charging.
Yeah.
She set this thing on the charger, and her eyes lit up, and her jaw about hit the floor when it popped up and said it was charging. It goes, I didn't know I could do that.
And she's 10, mind you. Most 10-year-olds are teaching their parents about everything, but that's really cool. But again, she didn't know she had that capability even, and a lot of people don't. Now, mind you, with iPhones, it took them all the way to iPhone 8 before they could start doing that. And yes, we've been doing that with Android for many, 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 many years, like 100 years now already. We've been wirelessly charging our Android phones.
Uh-huh.
But it's good to know that others are catching up. So what's the excuse with OnePlus? Why would they have a phone that you can, it's not a big deal, it doesn't add a whole lot more expense, that they insist that they're just not doing that? They don't do that with any of their models. Well, but then you're not going to sell many, I don't think.
They must be one of them stubborn boomers.
Well, they're from China.
Yeah. Well,
Chinese phones. So, but you'd think even they, of all people, would do it because they want to sell more phones. So we'll see. Maybe we'll get one to play with and just see how inconvenient it is to not have the capability of wireless charging.
Amazon reportedly tracked the location of attendees at one of its recent cloud computing conferences. Motherboard reports that people who attended Amazon Web Services conference in Las Vegas earlier this month were given badges that had pre-installed beacons that allowed the tech giant to track them as they walked around.
Nice.
One anonymous conference attendee said that had they known about the hidden tracking device, they would have opted out. The person said, had I seen AWS themselves describe it as a beacon, I'd have known exactly what that means and opted the hell out on that one.
Yeah. How many times did you go to the bathroom during this conference? Oh, yeah. We have you down at 16 in 2 days. What?
Yeah. That attendee also learned that something was different this year when Amazon told them that lost badges would cost $150 to replace. In a statement, Amazon said that the data was collected anonymously and was used to understand foot traffic and attendance at certain events.
Uh-huh. You know, same thing at CES.
It's very similar because we have RFID tags in our badges, and there's RFID readers at the beginning, at the entrance of every hall and throughout the hall. So.
And if it's only that, that's not so bad. Because if they're simply trying to say, okay, you visited that hall, so be it. But to constantly track your movements in and around the convention center or the ballrooms or whatever, that's just creepy.
Uh-huh.
Gee. Patrick in Tyler, Texas, listens on KTBB. Welcome into tomorrow.
Hi, Dave. I'm interested in getting a doorbell cam and really confused about what's out there. And I heard that with one of them, or maybe all of them, you have to sign up for a web service or something to receive the images. Can you explain what's out there and maybe what the best deal you would recommend would be?
Well, sure, Patrick. The main thing, I think, is to probably keep your expectations low, believe it or not. They're getting there, but smart doorbells don't always live up to those expectations. Even big-name security companies like ADT and Simply Safe are offering compatible hardware, and VTech and other names you may recognize are making them. If you already use an August smart lock, for example, their August doorbell cam may be worth a look. It offers motion sensing, live and recorded video. It's compatible with home automation systems like Alexa, Google Home, even Apple HomeKit. And it'll cost you about $200, but I think you're going to get your money's worth there.
Yeah, I mean, for just about everyone else, one of the better options is probably Ring, although keep in mind that they're not the only ones.
No, they're just the ones, because they're owned by Amazon, that have the most money to spend on marketing.
So they're probably the most well-known.
Yeah.
It's lower definition than some of the competition, but enough to be useful. And the lower definition means that it's quicker to load live video. Again, keep your expectations low on this. I can tell you this as a Ring doorbell cam user.
Yeah. Wishing oftentimes that you had another brand or two to use instead of that one.
Yeah. Ring offers two-way audio, live and recorded video. It comes in a few colors, so you can make it look less bad on your door. It will still look bad, just because it's not a really good-looking device.
Yeah.
Ring is selling right now for about $140, and being owned by Amazon, it is compatible with Alexa devices. If you have an Echo Show, that may be a decent selling point, since the screen can connect to the doorbell, and you won't have to fumble with your phone if you happen to be near the Echo Show.
But you have to be near the Echo Show, and you're not going to have them all over the house because they're too expensive. You might have one in the kitchen or in the living room.
Right. Now, I have one of those brilliant smart home screens set up in my house. It's and it ties in with my Ring doorbell. When anybody rings my doorbell, the video just pops up on that brilliant screen. So at least I can see that. So it works with those kind of things as well.
Oh, but then we were at your house on Christmas Day when other family was arriving and they'd ring the doorbell, but your brilliant switch was hidden behind the Christmas tree.
Right.
So I couldn't see it.
Right. At one point, I did walk behind the tree and quickly see who was at the door before it, because I guess I'm too lazy to just peek through the little peephole.
Ah, I see.
Or know that the gate just called and said, hey, so-and-so is here, and it's probably there.
Yeah, it probably is, and in fact was. But see, I haven't been able to use my peephole all during the holidays because I have a Santa hanging on the door.
And thank God the holidays are over and he's gone now.
Yes, I know. But still, because Ford delivery people are always scared. Because it's a motion sensor thing, and then Santa just says something. Has a variety of sayings, but little motion sensor picks up as you turn the corner at my door. And it usually makes people jump. I always enjoy watching that on video.
Mm-hmm.
But then it renders my peephole useless. Because I look through the peephole, I'm just looking at the backside of Santa's beard. It's just not as effective. So, yeah, good thing the holidays are over. So I'm not scaring delivery people. And I can actually see through my peephole or one of the four cameras I have around the door. But there are many, many others, Patrick. Frankly, the quality drops pretty quickly. and it's not stellar to begin with. So you should probably stick to the best known options. I'm not a big fan of Ring, I can tell you that. So look at some of the others. But if you want to go that direction, just let us know what you end up with and how it worked for you. All the way, I hope, into tomorrow.
Guys, by now, you've heard the great news. If you've wanted to try Viagra or Cialis, but were worried about the price, Blue Pills Direct can finally give you the results you've been looking for. Why pay almost $15 per pill when you can get the same results you need for only $2 per pill? That's right. Call today and receive 50 blue pills or 50 yellow pills for only $99. That's only $2 per pill and saves you almost $500 from your local pharmacy. Why wait? Call 888-914-4247 today and finally have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Call 888-914-4247 right now and we'll rush your order discreetly packaged to your door. Just call 888-914-4247. That's 888-914-4247. Call 888-914-4247.
I'm Marley Q, a longtime fan from Into Tomorrow's headquarters in Miami, Florida. I can't believe my voice made its international debut right here 15 years ago as an ITTV correspondent. And yeah, my videos are still on YouTube. Thank you so much for inviting me back to wish you, our loyal listeners, a happy holiday season and new year ahead. This is Marley Q reminding you to park, to perform acts of random kindness by participating on the show and sharing your favorite episodes. Thank you so much for continuing to grow this worldwide community even further into tomorrow. And with that, back to you, Dave.
Well, thank you, Marley. We appreciate that. And that reminds me, too, if you want to give us a little congratulatory note as we launch our 25th year on the air, please feel free to do so. Use the Into Tomorrow app or call 800-899-INTO. Or you can just leave it on my Facebook page and we'll get it on the air.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-806-3752. That's 800-806-3752.
Welcome back into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline. If you have yet to snag our brand new free updated Into Tomorrow app for your iPhone or Android device, by all means, please do. What on earth are you waiting for? Run to your app store. Just search those two words, Into Tomorrow, and grab our new app so that you have us 24/7 amongst other cool things. And again, we want to hear from you. It's great to participate using the the app as well. You sound like you're right here with us in the studio. You'll see what I mean when you get it. Did I mention it's free? No cost? Be sure to snag the Into Tomorrow app. This next guest is with a technology company that's focused on providing accessibility and usability solutions for websites and, cleverly enough, mobile apps. Gee, maybe we could do something with them. The chief innovation strategist and advisor to the CEO from UsableNet is Jason Taylor. Jason, welcome into tomorrow. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. And tell me first a little bit about UsableNet. I kind of did a brief introduction, but what is the company about?
Well, we help companies such as retail, travel, and banking companies to ensure their websites and apps can be used by everyone. Particularly, we focus on making sure that those sites and apps can be used by blind users that utilize screen readers to shop, book, and bank online. So essentially making sure that people with disabilities aren't left behind in the digital space.
Excellent. And especially being radio, we have a lot of folks that are sight impaired that listen, of course, to radio and have all of their lives. And we're not only thankful for them as listeners as well, but we like to spread this kind of news to let people know that there are folks like you guys out there that are working hard to make it easier for everyone, including those kinds of folks that might need a little extra assistance. So what is website accessibility anyway? I mean, one would assume that in the case of the example you just gave, that if you can go to a website and there's a screen reader capable that folks can get information. But man, some websites, I think, can be so complicated. Even ours, you know, we've got, 24 years worth of shows posted, that it can get really complicated. Or a site that's like a whole bunch of pictures and a whole bunch of text, that's got to be confusing.
Well, I think the best analogy is to think about access to websites and apps similar to access to physical spaces like restaurants and hot offices. You probably wouldn't, an office is very complicated to build, but there's a set of rules to make sure that those offices can be used by people with wheelchairs, that light switches are in the right place, doorways are wide enough. So in the website and app space, there's similar guidelines, obviously not to do with wheelchairs, but to do with the technology that people use if they're low vision or no vision, and making sure the website's got the things in the right places for those people to easily find and use.
Oh, very cool. And I would hope that most companies do care that their websites and their apps, for that matter, are accessible to people with disabilities. But do you find that a lot of companies just figure it's overwhelming and that they really are trying to reach the majority of the population? And if they can't quite get to everyone, then that's life, I guess, or, so much for as much business as they can do. I mean, what kind of reaction do you find that you're getting from people?
Well, it's exciting times in this particular space right now. I'll give you a little bit of background about what's happening in the actual legal space, because a lot of the advocates actually use law to bring inclusion to digital access. So there are actually lawsuits right now where advocates have identified, really meaningful things that they can't use, whether that's banking, whether that's education online. And they're trying to use the law to push the advocacy. I think if you ask me, do our clients or do companies care? They do. Do they always think about it and plan? Probably not. So, the digital space, very fast moving. People want to build a website and an app very quickly. They may not take into account the importance of certain smaller aspects that they need to do. So they can make mistakes. And unfortunately, a little bit like an office space, if you built it and you didn't think about accessibility, to redo it is quite expensive.
Oh,
so
yeah.
A lot of companies have found themselves moving very fast. Websites are different than office buildings. They change all the time. People release, as you said, you released a new app. So, a new version comes quickly. You don't get a new version of an office block very quickly.
Yeah.
So people can make mistakes because they're moving very fast. So we try to help companies ensure that they're doing the best possible job, but with the least amount of resources applied to it.
I'm seeing on your website that ADA website lawsuits are now reaching 1 hour on average. And I certainly understand the years of office buildings and general construction, for example, needing to be ADA compliant and so forth. I didn't know that there were laws about websites having to be ADA compliant as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. It's the fastest private lawsuit sector right now. I would say that there's debate whether the ADA covers websites, but if we all think about it practically, you know, a website today or an app, it is where people go to do things. It's where you go to shop. It's where you go to bank. And the ADA at its core level is about equal access. So essentially, the ADA is being used as a tool by advocates to bring the attention to website owners and apps that they are excluding people from the digital opportunities that we all take for granted.
So what are some of the things, Jason, that companies can actually do to make their websites accessible to users of all abilities?
Well, I think the first thing that we normally understand is that a company typically didn't build their website. They purchased or they paid someone to build that website. So I think the practical first thing is to talk to the company that you paid to build your website or your app. Understand whether they are familiar with what they need to do and whether they've done any testing to make sure that the website not only works for the general public, but also works for people who use special devices like assistive technology. So I think the first place to stand is where do you spend your dollars, and make sure you spend your dollars with people and companies which take this seriously. I think that's the easiest way for what our class is, the majority of companies to take this and be an active part in that.
And I think that's the key point there. It's let the free market determine who's taking good care of people, because if you can go to one banking site and you can't do everything you need to do, yet some other competitor does make it easier for you, well, obviously, use that competitor. Use that other establishment. And while that's not always the easy answer, it certainly, I think, will drive more people to pay attention to the kinds of things that they should be doing.
Yeah, and I'd also say that there's good stories and bad stories. Actually, we had a webinar yesterday with a very interesting gentleman by the name of Joe De Niro, who works for the Helen Keller Institute for the Blind. He's blind himself. He teaches actually young people how to use technology, and he was talking about the fact that he just got his new guide dog, and he had to go to a website for the first time, which was Chewy.com. And he found that he could do everything he wanted. He could register for an account. He could look for products. He could read reviews. He could add them to cart. He could purchase them. So there are companies out there doing a good job. And of course, he will now be a Chewy customer for life. So there is a really good advocacy around, if you do a great job, you're going to have this community use you on an ongoing basis. So there's definitely a business reason, but a lot of advocates obviously feel that they might be marginalized because they're not as vocal as a group as some others, and essentially they're using the law today to bring attention to that.
And I'm thinking a lot of folks listening to us right now that have websites are wondering, well, how do I know if my site is accessible? And I'm now noticing that you've got a testing tool, a free one, on your website at usablenet.com. Tell me about that. How does that work?
It's very simple to use. You essentially just put your main URL in and your email address, and you'll be sent back a quick report of the homepage, which will give you a feeling of where you stand with regard to accessibility. So, essentially what that tool does, and I'll go back to the office analogy because I think it's easier, right? It goes and checks if all the light switches are in the right place, if the doors are wide enough, if the handle's in the right place to use on doors, and essentially gives you a list of things which are not in the right place and have not been done correctly. So you can actually then take that and send it to your web designer or your web agency or the company that you paid to build the website and say, guys, these are things that we should be fixing. And that's, again, my advice to any company out there is to be proactive and go and talk to the company that they gave money to build websites and make sure that company knows that they that they're responsible for making sure that they that everybody can use the site. Because also, if it's not if it can't be used by everyone, you're also potentially losing money, losing losing brand awareness, losing everything that's essentially to do with business.
Oh, for sure. So I would think that web designers would certainly want to not only be in compliance, but for all the reasons you gave, want to do as good a job as possible with a new website and or certainly version 2 of an existing site to make some of those necessary changes.
Exactly. Where we actually work with lots of web agencies. So we partner with web agencies to give them the tools, to give them the knowledge that they need, because there is knowledge involved. You need to know what you're doing. But we're also finding those agencies are obviously standing out from other agencies when they go for new business, especially in the space where lots of lawsuits are happening. And in that space, it's retail, travel companies, food service companies, banking. So web agencies that are competing in that space can see it as an opportunity, can see it as making sure that they're presenting, that they can make sure that their sites are accessible so they won't receive lawsuits. So it is an opportunity for web agencies as well as a responsibility.
Oh, absolutely. And usablenet.com is that driving force in this world of accessibility and, of course, digital transformation. They've been doing this now for more than 17 years. You should check them out. usablenet.com. Of course, we'll get you there when you visit us at intotomorrow.com. Jason, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Keep up the good work, and we'll keep promoting that it's important for all of us to make sure that our websites and our apps are accessible to everyone.
Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure. Again, usablenet.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue bringing you further into tomorrow right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-419-2335. 800-419-2335. 800-419-2335. That's 800-419-2335.
Welcome back to Into Tomorrow. I'm Cameron Graveline. We really love getting more app calls, so please let us hear you on the show. Now, here's Dave.
Thank you, Maury. There's one that Santa was good to. More than good to, I think. Cameron's got a lot of stuff. For 7 years old, he's doing quite well.
Yeah, Santa went into debt for Cameron.
Uh-huh. Both these Santas, majorly. But anyway, but I digress, and I thank you, Cameron. And he's right. Please be sure to visit your favorite app store. Search those two words in that said app store, Into Tomorrow, and download our app. Hopefully give us a nice rating. Even a little review would be so appreciated and would get my new year off to an awesome start. We would love that. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline. This portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by StreamGuys.com, providing the 24/7 stream of Into Tomorrow at our website at intotomorrow.com and on our free Into Tomorrow apps.
Jump aboard the time machine.
You got mail.
Time to head into yesterday with This Week in Tech History.
History, history, history.
Here's Chris.
History.
This week in 1954, the duoscopic TV receiver was unveiled. The TV set allowed a person or group to watch two different shows at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
It was a primitive picture-in-picture split screen that was tested in New York City and Chicago. I've seen pictures of this duoscopic, and basically you have two people sitting on opposite sides of the room, and depending on the angle you're looking at the TV, that's what you're looking at.
It was really...
most illogical.
Yeah, that's why it didn't last long.
Go anywhere.
Especially since color TV wasn't even really around yet. That was the same year color TV made its debut, so this was all black and white even.
And duoscopic.
Duoscopic, yeah. In 1972, this week, President Richard M. Nixon announced that NASA would proceed with the development of a reusable, low-cost space shuttle system. He signed a $5.5 billion bill for its creation. In 1986, this week, Kodak got out of the instant camera business after 10 years. A nasty court battle didn't go their way. The court claimed that Kodak copied Polaroid patents. 16 million camera owners were offered free stock, coupons, or a replacement camera. And this week in 2007, Apple chairman Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone at the Macworld Expo in San Francisco. The 4-gigabyte version of what became the 2007 invention of the year went on sale in June of that year for $500.
Pretty amazing. You were stuck with one carrier, had to be AT&T or nothing.
It wasn't even 3G. It had a single camera, 2 megapixels.
2-megapixel camera.
But it's probably the last time we saw a decent $500 iPhone.
Oh, God. That's for sure. They said, oh, we're on to something here, but we're selling it too cheap.
Yeah.
We can rip people off. I mean, make a lot more money on this. And ever since, they have made a lot more money.
That's our look back at This Week in Tech History, brought to you by IFA in Berlin, the global innovation show since 1924 for consumer tech and home appliances, and by IFA Next, the launchpad for innovations. Get more info at ifa-berlin.com.
When you participate on the show, we like to send you stuff when we hear you on the air, and it really is that easy, preferably using the Message the Studio option on the brand new updated Into Tomorrow app. But when you do, you win stuff, and no promises, no guarantees, but as you hear some of the things we're about to mention, if there's one item in particular you would like, tell us when you call in, and we'll do our best to try to get it to you. For example,
from Nuvio, we've got some Tableau dual over-the-air DVRs for cord cutters.
Oh, those are very cool. From McCallie, nightstand lights with USB chargers, and they work very well.
From Puro Sound Labs, we've got some volume-limited gaming headsets for kids.
Oh, yeah, protect their hearing. 3Doodler has sent us more of their Create Plus 3D printing pens to share with you.
And from various companies, we've got so many cases for iPhones, iPads, and Samsung Galaxy phones.
There you go. So you need a new case for your phone? Just tell us what kind of phone you have when you call in, and maybe you'll end up with a new case for your phone. IntoTomorrow.com. Let's meet there in the meantime.
Millions of people today have no dental insurance. If you're without insurance, do you have a plan to care for your teeth without spending a fortune? Introducing Dental Plans. How would you like to save 10 to 60% off your next dental visit for as little as $7 a month? We offer trusted dental savings plans from companies like Cigna and Aetna with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Be a part of the 1 million plus happy smiles served since 1999 that save money when they visit the dentist. You can save on cleanings, dentures, braces, x-rays, fillings, crowns, root canals, and even teeth whitening. Call 800-634-0482 now to start saving immediately. Mention promo code radio to receive 15% off any plan and for a limited time, 1 month free. 800-634-0482. That's 800-634-0482. Fees billed annually plus a $20 processing fee. Savings plans are not insurance. Savings will vary by provider, plan, and zip code. Consult with plan detail page for additional plan terms. Not all plans and offers available in all markets.
You know, before Apple bought Siri, it wasn't theirs originally. It was originally going to be released as an app for Android and BlackBerry. But Apple said, oh, no, 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 you don't. We're going to buy them and it's ours. And it did.
I know. I remember downloading that app for my iPhone and hearing that it was just announced that it was going to be available for Android. But before it actually came out, Apple scooped them up.
Yep, they did. Justin in Iuka, Mississippi, listens on Super Talk 94.3 FM. Hello there.
Hey, Dave. Going on a trip to
Rome next spring. Would like to know of any new travel tech or gear that would be interesting to take with me.
Oh, very cool. Well, enjoy Rome. I've always loved visiting there. It's really a beautiful city. And the food is good, too. Italian food. Go figure. There are a few gadgets and apps that can make your travel life a little easier. The main thing is, of course, take your phone. Apps like Google Maps can help you get where you need to go by car, public transit, by foot. As of recently, Google Maps may even be able to help you find well-lit pedestrian areas. Apps like Yelp can, of course, help you find places to eat in various neighborhoods that you may not be familiar with. And there are plenty of translator apps to help you communicate with people and even help you translate signs using augmented reality.
Now, that, of course, means that you'll want some kind of data plan. It can come from your own carrier, but you can use a device like a SkyRoam that we travel with. It'll let you connect several devices at once and enjoy fast speeds all over the world. And if you decide that you don't need to use it on any given day, you don't need to pay for the pass for that day. But the main and most useful tech you can bring along with you is your phone. It's a camera, a GPS, a tour guide, and sometimes it can even unlock your hotel room door. So there's not much else you really need.
Yeah, exactly. It used to be that we would travel with separate GPS units and all sorts of stuff because it was so important to do, and separate hotspot things. But the SkyRoam is a really great idea. I don't leave anywhere to go anywhere else in the world without my SkyRoam. It really makes a big difference. Let us know, Justin. Hopefully that helped you out.